You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
A story now of a search for one's origins and how a religious impulse to protect young girls from the shame of an unwanted pregnancy became instead a house of torture, enslavement, and an alleged mass grave for unwanted babies that can be justified on no religious grounds. Between 1925 and 1961, nearly 800 babies died at what was called the St. Mary's Orphanage in Ireland, also called a mother and baby home, established by the Irish government but run by the church. It has a bizarre dual mission to punish unwed mothers and find homes for their children. Members of the community understood St. Mary's to be a house of shame and punishment where mothers were separated from their children and never told what happened to them. But this spring, new revelations and a whistleblower from within the home have raised the possibility that hundreds of babies were disposed of in a mass grave on the old premises without proper burial or recognition. Peter Ferris Cochran was adopted from St. Mary's by American parents, and his entire life has been spent learning the details of this place and of his birth.
Truthfully, I was very well prepared by the Cochrans when they adopted me. They shared a lot of information to myself and my sister and my brother at an early age, so we were able to kind of grow up and understand that they were not our blood parents. And I knew that I had come from that home in Chum because my mother, Cochran, had found a lot of that information in my early childhood and didn't share it with us until I was a little bit older to try to understand.
Well, I can certainly understand why. I mean, I think for a while you probably just understood it was an orphanage. But then as the details emerged, you learned just how it was that they found you when they first held you in their arms.
Oh, exactly. I couldn't walk. I couldn't talk. You know, I'd never been held by anybody when they received me at 18 months old. So these are the things that they continuously refreshed my memory with, and that's what gave me the driving force to want to go to Ireland and see where I came from. And fortunately, I was able to do that kind of stuff. And at the same time, I went a little bit deeper.
And did you actually go back to the facility?
Yeah, I went back to where the orphanage was and, you know, saw the small grave site that was there. And at that time, this woman came over and she was real curious, wanting to know why I was there with my whole family. And I explained to her that I was one of the orphans that came from there. And then she eventually shared with me and my family more about the house. It wasn't an orphanage. It was a place where women who had bastard children had to repent their sins. Like my mother, she got there in August, and I was delivered in November, and then she left in December of the following year. So she had to work at the orphanage before she delivered. And then once she delivered, she had to stay at the house. She had to stay there and pay her debt to society. And this is just, I guess this is what really upsets me the most is how can the Catholic Church be such a horrible, influence in my mother's life and into all these orphans' lives? Now we're discovering that they didn't even give these women a choice. It was either you delivered normally and paid your sins, or if you breach birth, or, you know, if there was complications with the child was disposed of. And I'm sure there's a lot of mothers out there that wonder whether their child is alive or whether their child did pass away. Most of those women right now should be in their mid-60s and 70s, so they're still alive. The women that worked there, they're probably in their 70s and 80s. There's probably not many of them around. But there are some women out there that are looking for their children, and there are some children looking for their parents. And right now in Ireland, they just need to open up all their books, stop lying, and stop hiding stuff. They just need to say, hey, look, this is an opportunity for all these young people, or middle-aged people like me that we are now, to contact their folks. Their folks now, I think, can accept it. Society has, you know, forgiven everyone of their mistakes.
Why do you think you didn't end up in that septic tank?
I believe my mother delivered, you know, a natural birth. That's the only thing I can say. You know, there were no complications, and she had a natural birth. I came out, I guess, normal. And maybe there was plenty of room available for me to stay there. I'm just very thankful that, you know, it all worked out.
So did you meet your mother?
No, her sister was working with a social worker there in Ireland, and that social worker was working with my other mother, Cochran, and the stories all matched. And my aunt, which is my birth mother's sister, was trying to locate the sole surviving grandson of her father's estate. And so it got into a real complicated legal issue. Truthfully, I never wanted anything but to look at my mother and say, hey, look, I know you went through hell, but the bottom line is, the decision that you did was the right decision, because I am here. I'm safe. I've had a good life in the United States, and it's time for you to just close your eyes and rest and know that, you know, what happened 50 years ago turned out to be a very good story.
Well, Peter Ferris Cochran, it's been great talking to you. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Adopted son Peter Ferris Cochran spoke to us from North Carolina. To Peter's point about the need for the Catholic Church to investigate, the Archbishop of Dublin says there is a need for a full inquiry into the deaths of almost 800 children at so-called convent-run mother and baby homes. But the indications are, says the Archbishop, if something happened in Chaum, it probably happened in other mother and baby homes around the country.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.